Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Lord, we praise you this day. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. We bless your holy name. Thank you for giving us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that he came into the world to redeem us while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of the cross. He gave up his life. We thank you this day. We thank you that love never fails, that good overcomes evil, that you have made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've seated us in heavenly places with him We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you created us to be in your image. We thank you that you are the potter, we are the clay, so mold us and shape us, Lord. Let us continue to surrender and humble ourselves under your hand as the potter. And we being the clay, shape us and mold us, Lord God. We are your creation. We are your people. We open our hearts today to hear from you, to hear your heart, to have you tell us of your ways. Because your ways are not our ways. They're so much higher. We thank you for the broadcast today. That you would take time to speak to us through your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. I thank you. I thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. Jesus came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. And we claim this liberty that you have given us so freely. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We pick up our cross and we follow after you. We follow after you, the lover of our souls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Amen and amen. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. And how you love me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is amazing how much he loves us. Well, welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. I am delighted to be here today to continue on the topic of why is the church afraid? Why are we afraid? There is no reason for us to be afraid. As it says in Timothy, glory to God, that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, or a sound mind. He has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. A spirit of self-control. Thank you, Lord. And the spirit of fear does not come from him. Amen. Amen. So this is part three of why is the church afraid? Glory to God. So knowing that God has not given us a spirit of fear, why are we afraid? He tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18 says, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So there's no fear in love. Amen. So when we are fearful, it means that we have lost sight of how perfect his love is for us. His love is perfect. It's unchanging, unyielding, unbending. It is perfect. It is perfect. Amen. Amen. So today I'm going to be looking at how we measure our lives. Because when we are using the incorrect measuring tools or the incorrect standards to measure our lives, it leaves us in a place of unstableness. Because Christ is the rock, right? A rock that you can stand on, and there is sure footing. It is not unstable. It's the rock of our salvation. Christ is. And when we use something other than the measuring tools or the standards of the kingdom of God to measure our lives, we end up in a place of error, in a place of untruth. The world tells us and gives us this picture of what success is and what failure is. It's usually measured by careers, how much money we're making, you know, all those tangible things, those things that actually are perishable. Because those things can change in a moment. They are not eternal. They are all temporal. How do you measure happiness or unhappiness? And how do you measure your peace and stress? How do you measure healthy relationships versus unhealthy relationships? We have to know the Word of God. We have to know our Lord intimately. We have to be able to see ourselves as He sees us. Not as the world sees us. Because the so-called peace that the world gives can be taken away. But the peace and the joy that comes from our Lord, this peace that passes all understanding, cannot be taken away. This joy that comes from God is our strength. It doesn't change because of circumstances. It doesn't change because of people. Because it doesn't come from people and it doesn't come from circumstances. It comes from God. Our peace comes from God. When our minds are kept on Him, there is peace. When we keep our hearts in a place of gratitude, there is so much joy that fills it. The joy of the Lord. If you're measuring yourself by the standards of this world, it will always be shifting and changing because the culture of the world is always changing. Things that were not acceptable 20 years ago are now acceptable. So those things are always changing. Even the value on money has changed. A dollar isn't worth as much as it used to be. See, those things, it's all temporal. It's the culture of this world. So you may be making $100,000 today, but in today's economy, which is not the economy of 20 years ago, that $100,000 no longer has that $100,000 value. See, that's the world. That's the tools of the world. The measuring stick of the world. Constantly shifting, constantly changing. But we have something. That is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And we're not going to be bored. Even though it is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, we have not grasped all that we are and all that we are in Him and all that He is, all that He is to us. So we're on an exciting journey of discovery. But we've been too distracted by the things of this world. They've created a spirit of fear. These changing circumstances, the changing culture, the changing economy, the changes in government, all of this is designed by the prince of this world to create a spirit of fear. It comes from our enemy, the devil. God gives us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. 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 I just want to encourage you today. Because knowing that perfect love drives out fear. And we're in this atmosphere of fear that is causing all kinds of anger and hate and all these negative emotions. It all springs out of the spirit of fear that the prince of this world is creating right now in the atmosphere. But we're not subject to it. We're not subject to this. And that's not to say that we are not going to be challenged, that things aren't going to come against us. But our thought life, our emotions, our joy, our peace, it is not subject to the things of this world. We have a spirit of power. We have this overcoming spirit that lives on the inside of us. We can be courageous. We can be courageous in the midst of trials. The trials of this world. We can be courageous. Because we have the spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. It is always present. Our faith has to be in the fact that this God, who loves us, is always with us and never separates himself from us. He is in, he has placed his spirit. When we accepted Jesus Christ, which is the way, the truth, and the life, when we accepted his son, his beloved son, glory to God, that redeeming power of Jesus Christ, he came to dwell in us, translated us from the kingdom of darkness and into this marvelous light, into this kingdom where his son lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So when we use the things of this world, the standards of this world, to measure how we are doing, we're living a conformed life and not a transformed life. A transformed life that can only be found in the kingdom of God. All these stories that we read about where people have faced just insurmountable attacks and struggles and have been able to stand in the midst of that is because they allowed, they submitted themselves to the truth of who God is and who they are to him. This unshakable faith that God is for me. God is for me. In every circumstance, God is for me. He's for me. Transformation is not only for now, it's eternal. You're being transformed into the image of God from glory to glory, from glory to glory. You are being transformed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as we are individually being transformed into our true identity, we become the mighty army of God in the earth. He is building an army in the earth. These dark days, these very dark days, is requiring the mighty army of God. That's who we are, the body of Christ. We are a mighty army of God. And each one of us individually are unique expressions of God in the earth, unique expressions of Christ in the earth. We all have something that has been placed on the inside of us to give, and that it is needed within the body of Christ and to bring light into the world. We are the light of the world. Light dispels darkness. We cannot be so consumed with the darkness that we see. That cannot be our perspective. Darkness does not overcome light. When light enters into darkness, it dispels darkness. It's swallowed up in the light. And you are a unique light. And you gain this unique expression in Christ Jesus. You know, as I was looking at this scripture in Matthew, one of the scriptures that describes us as the light of the world. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world." The Amplified Version says, "You are the light of Christ to the world." And the Message Bible says, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world." I love that, God colors. And I thought about auras, you know, in a lot of these spiritual religions, you know, they talk about auras. People believe in auras, but there's nothing here that God has not created. So God created light. And if he says that we are the light of the world, so we are emanating something. So I believe that we each give off this aura. It's a distinctive quality, an atmosphere that is created when our light is shining. And there are people who have the gift to see into the spirit realm, and they see auras. They can see people's auras, and the auras appear in different colors. Amen. And these colors mean something. But it is all God expressing himself through us. We are the light. We are the light. And I looked up the Hebrew meaning for light, and the word is kaio. It's spelled K-A-I-O. Kaio. And it's a verb. So the tense that they use in the scripture in Matthew 5, that you are the light of the world, they use the verb. And this verb means to set on fire, to light, burning, to burn and consume with fire. So as the light of the world, we set things on fire. We consume things and we burn things. We set things to burning. That's the kind of light that we are in the world. Hallelujah. 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 We are the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. Is there any fear in Christ? Only perfect love, which drives out fear. We have got to stop living in this world like people who have no hope, always reacting. Always reacting to what's going on and not with goodness, but with fear. Afraid, we do things, we make decisions. I mean, we even vote politically out of fear. As though Our answer is out in the world. Our answer is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. You know, I looked up that word answer. You know, the world is looking for answers. And we have the answer. Our answer is within Christ in me. And the word answer means something said or done in response or in reaction to something or someone. It's also a reply, a reply. How are we replying to this world? What is the answer? What is the answer that we are giving to this world? That we're afraid just like them? So we have nothing to offer them? Is that what our life says to them? Does our life say to them that what we believe is not our sufficiency, and our belief is that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Isn't he more than enough? More than enough. You know, we come into the body of Christ with a lot of programming. We come in being programmed from almost the womb, in a sense, depending on whether your parent, your mother who's carrying you in the womb, has a relationship with the Lord. Because while she's carrying you, you're encased in an atmosphere. An atmosphere. It can be an atmosphere of light or an atmosphere of darkness. But even then, even with saved parents, it depends on the relationship that they have with the Lord. Is it just a knowledge of him, which is just information about who he is? Or is it a life that's living and breathing within you? That no matter what question life asks of you, through the trials and your temptations, that you stand ready to give an answer, to give a reply, a response that says that with God, all things are possible. That though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. What is the answer that we are giving to the world? When they look at us, how do they see us responding to all that's going on around us? Are we responding in unbelief? You know, we will only be known to the world by our love for one another. They have to see us operating in love with one another. And when they don't see love in action amongst us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the body of Christ, what they see is hypocrisy. It causes them to believe that the love that's been created in the world is greater than the love of God. Because it appears that the people of the world who love care more about people and conditions of people than the people of God. Does that mean that we are operating out of that same worldly love, that love those who love us and hate those that hate us? Are we able to love our enemies? Clearly we can, because we have the spirit of love on the inside of us. And we have the power that enables us to be able to love our enemies. Not the weakness of our flesh, but the power of God operating in us that gives us the ability to love our enemies. God is love. And if we are not operating in his love, then we don't know him. Know him, that intimate knowing. We haven't allowed the love of God to fill our lives. To fill us, transform us, giving us new eyes to see as he sees, new ears to hear as he hears, and new speech to speak as he speaks. Filled with the love of God, filled to overflowing, that we never run out. You can't run out of the spirit of love. No matter how people may test you, circumstances may test you, you will never run out of the spirit of love. It flows from God, fills your heart, and overflows out into the world. This is truth. Not those things that you say to yourself, well, I'm trying to love them. That's of the flesh. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. You have to expose yourself, saturate yourself in this truth daily, so that it will overtake every area of your life. Every time you see an area where God's love is not in operation, you stop. Lord, I need you to fill this area of my life with your love, your perfect love that drives out all fear. To not be able to be offended. Because you are not expecting anything. You are the giver of love. I don't think God would have so loved the world if he only did it because he was expecting something. He did it freely, 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 freely he gives, freely. And we are being transformed into his image. Perspective. Perspective. How are we seeing? Because whatever truth is in our minds, or untruth, lies, are in our minds, in our consciousness, that is how we are seeing. We're seeing through we're seeing through a truth, or we're seeing through a lie. And because we know that God is love, that when anything that is not of love shows up, we know it's a lie. And it's not of God. Even in disciplining, God disciplines those who he loves. He chastises those that he loves. And even that feels good because we know he loves us. His chastisement, his discipline, it transforms us. When we yield to it, we yield to it. Lord, you change me. Lord, you transform me. I can conform, but you can transform. Shine your light in every dark area of my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. You have to know that. Because if you don't, you'll be making all kinds of decisions and getting involved in all kinds of causes. Believing in the promises of man as the answer. This is spiritual warfare that's going on in the world today. And there's always been a spiritual war going on. But good overcomes evil. Good overcomes evil, and love never fails. Good overcomes evil, and love never fails. We are the army of God. We are Christ's body. Let me just read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, so Paul is comparing the body of Christ to our physical bodies, right? Something that we can relate to, right? It's like an object lesson. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Where are you drinking from? Are you drinking from the Spirit of God? Or are you drinking from the spirit of this world? Because the world is very toxic. And if you're drinking from that, you are allowing the darkness to come in and cloud your vision. Let me keep going. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Oh, do we do that? I'm a foot. I am not a hand. I'm different from you. I even have a different function. So I'm not a part of this. That's where all that divisiveness comes from. Because we don't recognize the many members, the many parts. If you are the redeemed, then you are a member of Christ's body. 16, verse 16 says, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So you may be trying to divide yourself because you may believe your doctrine may be different from another. But what he's telling you is that you are still a part of the body. Keep that in mind as I continue to read. Okay? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Think about that. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. As he chose, not as man chose, but as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Many parts, yet one body. Now that makes me think when about many parts, yet one body. The scripture where it says that we teach in part, we prophesy in part, you know, okay, these parts need to come together. Because you have something that I need. You know, we've got these different, we've got, you know, well, we've had these movements too, you know, the faith movement, and then we've got the Bible believing, Bible teaching whole thing, and then the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and the charismatic movement. Where it was all about the gifts of the Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, all of these things it's all part. It's all part. That's why it's so dangerous to just only be focused on one part. Like some people who have listened to one person teach for the last 15, 20 years, and won't go outside of that, have only attended that church, and won't attend any other church. And so you have different churches who have different doctrines coming against, they'll come against, oh, the faith movement, you know, but the danger in just taking your part and trying to make it the whole, it ends up being perverted, which is how the faith movement got perverted. And, you know, the charismatics that, you know, they were busy, you know, doing all this spiritual warfare and the spiritual gifts. And then, you know, they get off into these tangents. And things get a little extreme and a little perverted because it was never meant to be the whole. It's a part. If it's just the ear, then how do you see? And if it's just the eye, how do you hear? If it's just the ear, how do you see? Where's your sense of smell? If it's only the ear. The body is made up of many parts. And when a part starts to act like it's the body, that's when we go into these extreme tangents and we get off into these extreme because we're trying to make this one part the whole. It's not the whole. Let me keep going. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Let me say that again. Let me read that again. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. They only seem to be weaker, are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. Oh, there's so much wisdom here. So much wisdom here. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that as I just continue to read the scripture, that I don't have to even interpret it, Lord God, because the spirit of truth is just moving as I read these verses. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The spirit of unity. That's a spirit of unity. Let us be in the world and not of the world. We are the light. We are the light in these dark times. Let your light so shine. Don't hide it. Don't put it under the table. But sit it on a candlestick. Set it on a candlestick and set that candlestick on the table that it may light the entire house. God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And his perfect love has cast out all fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We have to be careful about the culture of the world showing up in our church gatherings. Amen. You know, I remember when I, now I worked in full-time ministry. We're all in full-time ministry. You know, we use that word, oh, full-time ministry. But what I meant, I was no longer working a job in the world, but I was employed by a church organization, right? And I naively believed that it was going to be different from what I encountered in the world, because I just naively believed, because that's where I was, because this is like years back, we're talking like 20 years ago, when I stepped into this, working for a church organization, a really big one, I believed that I was stepping into God's kingdom. But every church organization is not necessarily the kingdom of God operating. But the great lesson for me was I needed to have the kingdom of God operating in my life. And in the beginning, I was so busy looking at the kingdom of God not operating in other people's life and responding to that. And I was not able to see the kingdom of God not operating in my life. You know, we can be some prideful creatures and judgmental and critical. That human nature, which is part of that old man, that old way of thinking. It's an old way of thinking. And we have to move into this newness of life, this new way of thinking, thinking according to Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ, letting the mind of Christ be in us. And it took me a few years to go through a process where it was revealed to me, even the negativity that was in my life, this negative thinking that I had, that I didn't even recognize as being negative. But in that environment, it was all exposed, and it needed to be exposed. And I praise God because it was a training ground for me. I needed to be transformed. You know, so often we're looking at other people and we're looking at circumstances when it's us that needs to change. We're the ones who need to change. I change. Forget about the circumstance. Forget about people. If you're looking for changes outside of yourself, you'll be wasting a lot of time and energy. The change needs to happen in you. It has to happen in you. Not outside of you, but in you. But you know, it was a wonderful thing when I came to the revelation that, you know, I don't have to allow people to push my buttons if I don't have any buttons. You know, we have these buttons and they're labeled different things. You know, my button that says pride, or my button of insecurity, or my button of fear, whatever your different buttons are. If they don't exist, no one can push them. That button of pride, that button of insecurity, that button of shame. Whatever these buttons are that's in your life, they're not part of the new creation. All those buttons are the buttons that were in the suit of the old man. And when you come to that revelation that you no longer really have those buttons, you think you have those buttons, and so as a man thinketh, but you no longer have those buttons because Christ has given you new life. You're free. You're free. You no longer have those buttons for people to push. God has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That is your truth. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. More than a conqueror. And he always causes us to triumph. He'll always cause you to triumph. His love is deep, his love is wide, his love is high. We can't even imagine just how great it is. Just keep drinking of his love. Keep feeding on this spirit of love. Keep feeding on God. He's good. He's good. He's good. And if there's something that is trying to convince you that he is other than good, it's a lie. It's a perverted thought that is causing you to believe that God is giving you something other than a perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Because he's a good father. Things are going a little different on the broadcast. I just want to exhort you. There is nothing in the world, nothing, there is nothing in the world that can fulfill you like the love of God. No one can love you like he loves you. God is the only person that you can say will never leave you, will never forsake you. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Whenever you doubt God's love, just see Jesus on the whipping post, taking the stripes, the beatings, the wounding that was meant for you, nailing him on the cross. See that, the blood running from his hand, from his head, from the crown of thorns. See that. All of that for you. How can you say he doesn't love you? Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for a friend. You're not here to make a name for yourself, but you're here to make God's name great in the earth. You've been bought with a price. But it is a glorious, glorious thing to be owned by God. To be owned by God and no one else. No one else can own you. You owe no man. You're completely owned by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Bless your name, God. Bless you. Father, we thank you for this airtime. I thank you for this airtime. I thank you that you're always revealing yourself to us. The more we see you, the more we're amazed by how much you love us. I thank you. I thank you and I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your holy name. So I thank you, Lord God, that your spirit of truth has carried words that are redeeming people right now, redeeming them, redeeming them, restoring, rebuilding, breaking free, loosening the chains, the binding that's restricting and holding people. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I bless your holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, I am going to have to conclude this broadcast. This is, you've been listening to Declaring, hanging out with Pat Randall on Declaring the Finished Work. Hallelujah. Where we're just lifting up the name of Jesus. There is no name higher than the name of Jesus. Everything must bow down to the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So no matter what is going on, hallelujah, he will always cause you to triumph. His triumphant spirit lives on the inside of you. Amen.
I'll say yes when you wake me early in the morning. I'll say the going down of the same. I'll say yes to your will, and I'll say yes to your way. I'll say yes. Oh,
you're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.